Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of This is 70, Caregiving in My 70s. Looking after my centenarian mother and disabled husband taught me these five lessons, and this is by Janie Emos. Reaching 70 can come with unexpected challenges. For me, that meant spending a significant chunk of my early 70s as the caregiver for my mother, who was fit but often confused from the effects of dementia until she passed away in January. And until recently, I was also caring for my disabled husband, who was mentally aware but unable to walk by my side. He passed away late last year. I never imagined that in my eighth decade, I would be an expert on hospital beds or the durability of pill crushers. But I learned a lot about coping mechanisms. I hope these tips can help others who are caregivers later in life. 1. Ask for help. I realized I needed more help. What I didn't realize was that family and friends were waiting for me to reach out for them. Once I did, they showed up, easing my burden. And believe me, no one can do this alone. Keep friends close. Once a month, I try to spend an entire day, or at least a night out, with my friends. I can count on my girlfriends to bring laughter and comfort into my life. Sneak in me time. Stress wreaks havoc. On days when folding another pajama top is too complicated, I shake up a cold martini and sit under the Chinese elm in my backyard. Whatever it takes to bring you back to that happy place. Get daily exercise. If I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of anyone else. My favorite form of exercise is swimming. I return home feeling refreshed and ready to face my loved ones with a smile. Binge watching. There's nothing like a good story to take me away from reality. When all is calm, I'll binge a streaming series. I'm in a world far from my own. Until she passed away, my mother enjoyed spending hours reading the paper, and until the end of his life, my husband and I could still hold hands and share laughter or tears each evening. I'm glad for the time I had with both. Janie Emos, 77, is an author and a novelist, and this essay is from AARP's The Ethel E. Newsletter. Next, let's look at an article under the heading of Your Money from AARP, the Bulletin. Should you take high-tech shortcuts at work? Older workers are using artificial intelligence to streamline tasks. Here are some of their tips and a few key warnings. The rise of artificial intelligence may be making you anxious, since it's increasingly commonplace to hear that AI is coming for your job. It's also making scammers' crimes easier to execute. But if you know how to use AI and what pitfalls to look for, it can help you be more efficient at work so you can focus on your most important responsibilities. 29% of workers 50 and older found AI chatbots very helpful for completing tasks more quickly, according to a 2024 report from the Pew Research Center. Speeding things up with the help of chatbots such as ChatGPT, Google Gemini, and Microsoft Copilot is just one possible use of what's known as generative AI, software you can ask to create writings, pictures, video, and more. If you have AI literacy skills, it's going to put you at a competitive advantage, says Catherine Fisher, a career specialist at LinkedIn. Still, relying too heavily on these new tools without understanding their downsides could end up costing you your job, as more than one attorney discovered after submitting legal pleadings that included, quote, cases invented by a chatbot. Here is how some older workers use AI to improve their productivity while accommodating the technology's quirks. Summarize. Quickly condensing pages and pages of research into a few paragraphs is one of the many ways Michelle Leff Marmelstein, 51, a public relations director at the Global Electronics Association, uses ChatGPT. Marmelstein, who calls AI her quiet assistant, also uses it to capture the gist of other media. When a colleague recently gave an on-camera interview to CNN, Marmelstein uploaded a recording of the video into ChatGPT and asked the AI tool to write an email summarizing the interview, calling attention to the highlights and suggesting follow-up steps for the organization to take. I still have to clean it up, she says, but the amount of time it could save me is immense. Edit. Elizabeth Sean Vayner, 65, director of the Journey to Safety Program of Jewish Family and Children's Service in Waltham, Massachusetts, mostly uses Microsoft Copilot as an editor and validator for emails, a newsletter, and other job-related writings. Recently, when she uploaded a weekly newsletter into Copilot, the tool confirmed the message was well written, then offered to draft an email subject line and turn the message into a template for future updates. I kind of play around with it, Vayner says. She doesn't accept all of Copilot's suggestions, but she appreciates that she can get immediate feedback instead of waiting for a colleague to read and respond to her work. Brainstorm. AI can help generate ideas or solutions in multiple contexts. As a career development specialist at a community college outside Chicago, Marie O'Hara, 68, often works one-on-one with students to match them with possible majors and job opportunities. To come up with different options, she'll take results from career assessment tools, such as the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, and plug them into ChatGPT with prompts such as, based on this profile, what types of career fields would be good for me? Or, what are some examples of entry-level jobs that align with my personality, interests, and values? It'll often come up with careers that the assessment tools didn't come up with, she says. For example, the AI tool suggested work as a respiratory therapist as a strong fit for a student interested in healthcare, citing high patient interaction, uses curiosity, and quick learning, clear procedures, strong demand, and solid salary. Do your research. For gathering basic information about a subject you might be unfamiliar with, using AI tools is quicker and easier than a series of internet searches, says John Santolari, 63, Chief Financial Officer at Dimensional Energy, a developer of synthetic hydrocarbon technology. He uses the hypothetical example of a person who wants to get an interview of the ethanol industry, or an overview of the industry. Without AI, that would require visiting numerous sites to piece together bits of information that would eventually help the person get a big picture view of the industry. But with AI, that learning process is simpler, he says. You can simply ask a chatbot, "Tell me about ethanol." Then follow up with more specific questions in response to its answers. It's like having an expert you can ask basic questions of and then drill down, Santolari says, rather than having to educate yourself so you know what questions to ask. And handle repetitive tasks. Financial therapist and author Rick Coller, 70, uses AI to respond to the many pick-your-brain and request for information emails he gets. For that, he uses what are known as GPT customizable versions of AI tools available to subscribers of paid tiers of ChatGPT. Are they wanting a copy of a demo? Financial therapy. Something I've written. Reference to a book. Of all my resources, what do I have for this person? Kaler says, it can get the links, prepare a response, and then I can go in and customize that. And finally, convert files. When Lisa Ezrol Curran, 58, a strategy consultant in Chicago, needed a sortable, researchable congressional dictionary or directory, she used ChatGPT to create one based on a messy, poorly formatted directory in a PDF file she already had on file. There weren't any magic prompts, she says. I started with, I need to convert this PDF into a researchable spreadsheet. Can you do that for me? And it would come back and do something that was completely knotted. So I learned to be specific and say, only use the information in this file and these column headings. And if the email is missing, please put it a blank. I gave it a very detailed instructions. Curran thoroughly checked the ChatGPT results, but ended up having to make only a few small edits in the resulting 75-page file. It was very much like working with an intern, she says. Dan Ackerman, editor-in-chief at technology retailer Micro Center, uses AI to build tables related to productive review charts. It used to be an annoying time sink, he says. Now he takes screenshots of performance benchmarks, scores he wants to use in those charts, instructs the AI how he wants everything formatted, and slots everything in. This article was by longtime technology journalist Ed Begg, who writes Ask the Tech Guru column in AARP. And we do have a little sidebar article here. When AI falls down on the job, the technology isn't perfect, so follow these tips for using AI at work. Verify the results. Though AI tools are improving, they still hallucinate. That is, make up stuff that looks authoritative but is utterly wrong. When a client recently asked financial therapist Rick Kaler whether IRS rules allowed him to put money into a certain account, Kaler got an answer from AI indicating the amount the man could contribute. He then emailed an accountant to confirm the information. I do stuff like that all the time, he says. Keep it personal. No, sorry, keep it impersonal. Because the information you plug into AI chatbot can be used to improve interactions with other users, never give it prompts containing personal information, such as your name, address, or social security number. Always treat anything you put in a chatbot like it's public information, says Rory Meir, Associate Director of Community Organizing at the nonprofit Electronic Frontier Foundation. And save your work. Though some chatbots will retain your previous conversations, they have been known to erase these without warning. Download or copy and paste any text you want to keep long term. Remember, they're machines. Like social media platforms or gambling apps, AI chatbots are designed to keep you using them. They'll flatter and encourage you in ways that feel like friendship. But they're not your friends. Use them as tools, not as confidants. And finally, get your bosses okay. Many organizations have guidelines covering employees' use of AI. In order, for example, to prevent proprietary information from leaking out, check with your employer for any policies that might cover what you can use AI for and which specific tools you can use. Now, I recently came upon a new resource. It's a new magazine, and I'm going to read an article or two from it today, and let's see how we like it. This is the Senior's Guide. It's seniorsguide.com, and they also have a print magazine. This article, questions to ask when interviewing a home care provider. What types of care levels do you offer? Medical home health care, non-medical home health care, physical therapy and rehab, companion care, adult daycare, or hospice? Costs, what are your hourly prices for? Days, nights, weekends, holidays? Does the agency handle billing, yes or no? Is there a sliding fee schedule based on your ability to pay? Yes or no. Is financial assistance available to pay for services? Yes or no. Agency, do they have any printed brochures describing the services offered and how much they cost? If so, get one. Yes or no. How long has the agency been serving its community? Is the agency an approved Medicare provider? Yes or no. Is the quality of care certified by a national accrediting body? Yes or no. Do they have a current license to practice, if required in the state where you live? Yes or no. Do they offer seniors a patient's bill of rights that describes the rights? Yes or no. Does it cover responsibilities of both the agency and the senior being cared for? Yes or no. Do they write a plan of care for the patient with input from the patient, his or her doctor, and family? Yes or no. Do they update the plan as necessary? Yes or no. Does the plan outline the patient's course of treatment? Yes or no. Does it describe the specific tasks to be performed by each caregiver? Yes or no. Do they have professional liability insurance? Yes or no. Staff, how are agencies' caregivers hired and trained? What type of employee screening is done? Will the agency provide a list of references for its caregivers? Yes or no. How closely do supervisors oversee care to ensure quality? Will agency caregivers keep family members informed about the kind of care their loved one is getting? Yes or no. Are agency staff members available around the clock, 7 days a week if necessary? Yes or no. Does the agency have supervisor available to provide on-call assistance 24 hours a day? Yes or no. How does the agency ensure patient confidentiality? Who does the agency call if the home care worker cannot come when scheduled? What is the procedure for resolving problems when they occur? And who can I call with questions or complaints? Next we have, North Carolina has specific requirements for independent agency providers, and more information on this can also be found at ncdhhs.gov/DHSR/AHC/index.html. Be sure that all providers are licensed and have the appropriate liability and workers' comp insurance. So the different types, companion, homemaker, service providers. Companion care is designed for individuals who are healthy and want to remain independent at home. Agencies that provide this service offer client assistance and supervision with activities such as companionship, help with hobbies and special interests, shopping, meal planning, and preparation, light housekeeping, transportation, etc. In North Carolina, companion, sitter, and respite services must be provided by a licensed agency, but are typically private pay only. The caregiver providing services is not allowed to provide hands-on personal care, and the agency is responsible for assuring competence of the individual providing care. Non-medical personal care service providers. Agencies providing these services can focus on companionship, but also assist with daily needs such as meal preparation, running errands, medication reminders, light housekeeping, and incidental transportation to doctor's visits. In addition, they can also provide hands-on personal care with ADLs, activities of daily living, to clients such as bathing, dressing, personal hygiene, toilet assistance, medication management, and transfer or ambulation assistance. These services are provided by agencies licensed by North Carolina DHSR and are responsible for the training and supervision of the caregivers that provide both companion and personal care tasks. Payer sources can be private pay, long-term care insurance, VA, or Medicaid, if the agency is Medicaid certified. Physician in-home visits. Physicians providing in-home primary care visits are able to deliver the same service and high-quality care patients expect to receive at their doctor's office, but without the additional stress of transportation and coordination issues. Clinicians are board-certified primary care and geriatric specialists who are able to connect with the patient in their living environment, spend as much time as needed for each patient visit, and provide care that is ongoing, proactive, and prevention-oriented. Ongoing on-site care helps reduce crises and prevent emergency room visits and recurring hospital admissions. In addition, a wide range of specialty care is available on-site, including diabetic screenings, podiatry, ophthalmology and vision testing, and rheumatology. Support services such as lab work, X-ray imaging, and EKGs can also be performed in-home. In-home primary care and supporting services are covered by Medicare, Medicaid, and private pay insurance. Then we have home health care here. Organizations that provide home health services help adults and seniors who are recovering after a hospital or facility stay, or just need additional support to remain safely at home to avoid unnecessary hospitalization. These Medicare-certified services may include short-term nursing, rehabilitative therapeutic, and assistive home health care. This care is based on a medical plan supervised by a healthcare professional. Home health services are provided by registered nurses, RNs, physical therapists, PTs, occupational therapists, OTs, speech-language pathologists, SLPs, home health aides, HHAs, and medical social workers, MSWs. The number and length of visits are limited, and services are paid primarily through the Medicare Home Health Benefit. And finally, here we have hospice and palliative care. These services are considered to be the model for quality, compassionate care for people facing a life-limiting illness or injury. Hospice care involves an interdisciplinary team approach to expert medical care, symptom management, and emotional and spiritual support, expressly tailored to the patient's needs and wishes. Hospice focuses on caring, not curing, and in most cases, care is provided in the patient's home. Hospice care also is provided in freestanding hospice centers, hospitals, and nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. Hospice services are available to patients of any age, religion, race, or illness. Hospice care is covered under Medicare, Medicaid, most private insurance plans, HMOs, and other managed care organizations. And not sure where to begin with this? Build your path on seniorguide.com. Excuse me, that's seniors with an S, guide.com. And you can start with Seniors Guide's care assessment at seniorguide.com/care-assessment. And this article also gives some local organizations that provide this type of care. We have Comfort Home Care. We have House Watch Caregivers in Cary, Home Watch Caregivers Chapel Hill, Home Well Care Services, Right at Home of Durham and Chapel Hill, Right at Home of Wake and Johnston County, Visiting Angels, Chapel Hill and Durham, and Visiting Angels in Raleigh. Now, going back to the bulletin under a heading of Your Money, Live Well for Less, let's look at drugstore and grocery deals, a surprising place to save. It's tough to beat the convenience of drugstores for picking up some groceries. Many sell a wide variety of packaged foods and household goods, and nearly half of Americans live less than a mile away from one. But what is the cost of convenience, and is there a way to cut it down? My recent price check showed that although prices overall are more expensive than at the supermarket, you have many ways to slash your grocery bill at the drugstore. To get answers, I visited the local outposts of the country's two biggest drugstore chains, CVS and Walgreens. I then compared prices of more than a dozen brand-name grocery items to those at my local supermarket, Stop and Shop. The two biggest surprises Walgreens had slightly lower prices than the supermarket one-third of the time, but CVS and Walgreens offered their share of deals with markdowns as much as 40%. For example, I found Dunkin' Coffee K-Cup pods on sale at CVS for $19.99 versus $32.99 at the supermarket, a $13 savings. At Walgreens, I found Glad garbage bags on sale for $8.99 versus $12.49 at Stop and Shop, $3.50 cheaper. Sales are just the start. Here are strategies to make your grocery dollar go even further. Sign up for rewards. Both CVS and Walgreens have free loyalty programs with worthwhile perks, including special deals and store credits, aka CVS Extra Bucks rewards and Walgreens Cash. CVS also had a paid tier for $5 a month, giving you a $10 monthly bonus reward and 20% off store brand health products. That can pay for itself if you're a frequent shopper. Members of the My Walgreens program using its no annual fee credit card can get extra cash back rewards on purchases. Check apps and websites. In addition to promoting special sales, both chains offer generous coupons online. Simply tap or click to add them to your loyalty card. Taking the time to check online for special offers really pays. I recently activated a $5 coupon for Tide liquid detergent, which was on sale at CVS for $14.99, bringing the total to $9.99 versus $12.49, including a $3 digital coupon at the supermarket. Strategize your buys. The best way to maximize your saving is to stack offers, says Kristen McGrath, senior editor at The Crazy Coupon Lady. In addition to combining manufacturer coupons with sales and loyalty rewards, you can use a rebate app like Ibotta or Fetch, and you might just get a sale item for free. 4. Try store brand items. A CVS rep told me the chain is expanding its Well Market line, which competes with Walgreens' Nice brand. Read the fine print. Some deals come with strings attached. You may have to buy one to get one at a discount. Also, check if you're required to buy the item online and pick it up in store. And keep in mind that prices may be different online than they are in the store. And stock up during post-season sales. Candy, decorations, cards, gifts, wrapping paper, and other items get marked down heavily after holidays. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.